This is Art in Focus, brought to you by the McMullen Museum of Art at Boston College. My name is Nisha Momin, class of 2021, and a McMullen Student Ambassador. I'd like to welcome you in listening to the first episode in a series on the exhibition Taking Shape: Abstraction from the Arab World, 1950s to 1980s. This episode is part one in a two-part interview with the co-curator of the exhibition, Suheila Takesh and Sultan Sud Al-Qasimi, the Barjeel Art Foundation founder and a visiting instructor in Boston College's Islamic Civilization and Societies program. They will be interviewed by Atta Chowdhury, a McMullen student ambassador and member of the BC class of 21. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Sultan and Suheila, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited for this. So how about to get started, we can just do some introductions, just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
I can start. So my name is Sultan Al-Qasimi. I am a visiting lecturer at Boston College Islamic Civilization and Societies program in the spring of 2020 and 2021. And I've been teaching now for the past 4 years. And I'm also the founder of the Barjeel Art Collection, which is based in Sharjah in the UAE.
Hi, and my name is Suheila Takesh. I'm a curator at the Barjeel Art Foundation in Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates. And I'm also the co-curator of the Taking Shape Abstraction from the Arab World from the 1950s to the 1980s exhibition, which was originally co-curated with Lynn Gumpert, who's the director and chief curator of the Gray Art Gallery at NYU. And this is where the show was inaugurated in early 2020. And is now touring across several other university museums in the US, and at present is on view at the McMullen Museum in Boston College.
Right. So Sultan, can you tell us a little bit about Barjeel Art Foundation and just a little overview of how you got involved in the arts?
So Barjeel Art Foundation was started about 11 years ago or so. It is a collection dedicated to promotion of art from the Arab world. I separated from a personal collection. Before starting Barjeel, I was buying art from South Asia, from India, Pakistan, Turkey, and even Western art. And then I realized that there was a lack of representation of art from the Arab world. I also realized that my colleagues who collect Iranian art and Indian art and Pakistani art were actively promoting art from their country and their region. And I thought that there needs to be more an active role in promoting art from the Arab world. And I also was interested in the histories that connect the different Arab countries with each other and also with the region that in which they are located. And so in 2008, I wrote an email to a government department in Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates. And I said that I'm starting this collection. There's about 40 or 50 artworks in the collection. Would they allow me to display it for public? Because that's what I've been asked when I was buying the works. Is this going to your home or are you showing it somewhere? And so it took about a year or so. And they gave me a space in this up and coming district called Al-Kasbah in Sharjah. And it's like this Venice style structure, 4-story building. And they were very generous with the space. We've used it for 8 years. It was about maybe 3,000 square feet or so. And we've been based there from 2010 to 2018.
All right, so how do you think the Barjeel Art Foundation plays a role in Sharjah and like UAE's art identity on a grander scale? And this goes to both of you.
Suheila, if I may start, and then Suheila can give you a more nuanced answer. I think that for every country in the world, you do require some kind of public-private partnership when it comes to art and culture, just like any other industry. I think that we fulfill a role and we fill this gap of regional representation in art in the UAE. The UAE, of course, is this up-and-coming art and culture hub. We've got museums, we've got galleries, But also the role of collections is very important because the collections are what keeps the artists working, the galleries working, the auction houses working. And so it's important for us to be part of this ecosystem. And I think that our dedication to art from the region is also being more and more appreciated, because as the UAE is seen more as a global hub, people want to come and visit and see what regional art looks like. That's, I think, where the role that we're playing primarily.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, and also add we are based in the United Arab Emirates, and we are one of many institutions and one of several collections in the country. But, you know, as Sultan described with, you know, kind of the genesis of the collection, it is focused on art from the Arab world, or, you know, sort of more broadly speaking, North Africa and West Asia. So in that sense, it does become quite focused. And in that way, it becomes a sort of a resource for those researchers and scholars working on the region, which is, you know, it's one of very few resources like that, you know, you can find not just in the region, but across the world. And one thing that we kind of do aspire towards, and, you know, we kind of always have it in the back of our minds as we're working, is to keep the collection open, you know, to keep it as open as possible to the public, of course, you know, and this is something that we're doing with our exhibitions and our online presence, but also to students and researchers who do want to see things that go on behind the scenes, or in our, you know, come and spend time in our storage facilities looking at works by particular artists that might not be on display or touring anywhere in the world at the moment, but, you know, they happen to be writing their dissertations on that particular time period, or, you know, a movement and so forth. So in that way, the collection is not only for public display, but also a resource for the critical inquiry of these histories.
So moving focus to taking shape specifically, Sohaila, what was your sort of vision? Like, did you have certain goals that you wanted to meet? What was your vision for the curation of Taking Shape?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. You know, I always say we kind of had, you know, in movies, sometimes you have these expectations versus reality reels. So it was something like that, you know, working on this exhibition. The idea to focus on abstraction was actually Lynn Gumpert's idea. And it's something she discussed with Sultan, I believe, all the way back in 2017, when Sultan, you were at the Kevorkian Center in at NYU. And we actively began working on it in 2018, when Lynn came over and spent some time with us in Sharjah. And, you know, we spent time in our storage facility going through the physical collection, kind of sifting through the artworks and trying to formulate kind of this very initial rough selection of artworks at that point. So as we got into this project, we really didn't even know what abstraction meant in the context of the Arab world. So that was, of course, our primary question. And in that initial few days when we selected works, we honestly just selected them on their visual merit of being non-objective, non-figurative, you know, things that we kind of expected of abstraction based on our training, which, you know, I have to admit, for the most part, was based on sort of Western art histories, because those are that, you know, that are the most frequently taught in academia. And it's only later, when we started delving deeper into the research of the particular works and artists and movements and schools, that we came to recognize just how layered and complex these histories were, and how distinct the intellectual trajectories and the questions that these artists were asking were. And they were distinct kind of not only from Western modernism or, you know, European and American modernism, but even speaking more broadly, globally, they were, you know, they were asking questions that were very different from other parts of the world. And that became really interesting for us to really get into and explore. And so, you know, when I speak of the process, it wasn't a linear process. It wasn't a neat one. We kept going back and forth, and the selection itself kept expanding and contracting, expanding more than contracting, because we also kept acquiring works during this entire process. I mean, there was a 2-year kind of space from when we first began working on the show until it went on display. And so we actually did acquire a number of works leading up to the exhibition. So yeah, I mean, the process was indeed very interesting, sometimes rocky and sometimes fascinating. And I think it actually raised more questions than it answered, which is the exciting part.
So we'd love to hear a little bit more about sort of the working relationship between the curator and the collector. Like, is there any point where Sultan, you say, like, this is how I view the curation process, or do you contribute to that process? And so, Hela, is there any point where you say, Sultan, like, no, I do not want to acquire this work, or I'd love to acquire this work? So we'd love to hear sort of that, what that conversation between both of you is like.
Well, I feel kind of awkward talking in front of Suhaila about this, but I do blindly trust Suhaila. My late father used to always say that people have to be specialized in their profession, and that everybody sort of chooses something in life. And I also believe that Suhaila has acquired knowledge that I don't have. I do not acquire works without speaking to Suhaila. I speak to a couple of other friends as well sometimes, but Suhaila is someone that I always make sure that she's satisfied with the work before we buy it. In some cases, because I'm a public figure in the UAE, in some cases I'm expected to acquire a work if I visit an exhibition, because it's seen as being as patronizing. I'm not sure that's the word, but when you go to visit a high school graduation show or a university graduation show, you're expected to buy some works by the students. These are acquisitions that I would say that are made on a personal level, but anything for the foundation, I always make sure that Suhaila is happy with, especially these days because of dwindling financial resources. I should say it's much more difficult. We have to be more careful about how we spend the money. Starting a foundation is different than having a collection, because a collection could be based at home and you don't have to worry about publishing books, hiring staff, logistics. But once you start a foundation, then you realize that your 100% budget for acquisition ends up being 20% budget for acquisition, and that a lot of money goes into resources that you weren't expecting, like insurance, resources like printing, and so things that you really didn't think about initially. And so we have to be very careful. And also, Suhaila sort of thinks about the collection in a different way, the how it complements each other, how it can be shown in the public. Sometimes I find myself having my heart sort of beating faster than my brain working, and I want to acquire work on the spur of the moment. And so at least there is a process of restraining and a process of a discussion that occurs between Suhaila and I. Suhaila, do you agree with what I said?
Yes, I mean, I definitely do. And I think it's very interesting. I mean, in many ways, I feel very privileged to be working in a foundation with such an unconventional structure. I mean, we're a very small team and a very agile kind of structure. So, you know, while as Sultan, you know, mentioned, we don't necessarily have a formal board and so forth, but decisions can be discussed very quickly, you know, there's very informally as well. And also, you know, because we have to remember this is a region where a lot of these artists are still being kind of, you know, I hate to use the word discovered, but let's say their bodies of work are still being documented. So because of that, you wouldn't necessarily always go through conventional channels like galleries and auction houses for the acquisition of works, right? A lot of the times, the way you find pieces is through the word of mouth, you know, you speak to someone, or, you know, with Sultan in specific, a lot of work we end up finding is through his social media. And so in that way, the entire process of acquisition becomes, let's say, a lot less traditional than, for example, a museum process of acquisitions. But that also makes it exciting in that we get to discuss these pieces not just with you know, members of a board, but with each other, with friends in the art world, with friends in academia, with other artists, and in many ways kind of find information that wouldn't have otherwise been available.
Yeah, and so Sultan, the paintings that are here right now and taking shape, so where are these paintings when they're not on tour, and is there some place that we can visit them?
So initially, when I started the foundation, the paintings were based in at home, in my house, in my mother's house, I should say. After my brother got married and vacated his room, I converted his room into a storage facility. So that was 2005 to 2009. And then we moved it to a smaller space, just about the size of two small bedrooms, when the collection was about 40 paintings. And now we have two warehouses in Sharjah that house the bulk of the 1,200 artworks that we have in the collection. However, the bulk of the collection that's on display at the Sharjah Art Museum, which is the first building and the first museum in the Gulf, the first building that was ever constructed, dedicated as a museum in the Gulf, inaugurated in 1997, I believe, in Sharjah. It had inaugurated the American University in Sharjah. It had built about 10 museums in that time, including a science museum, an archaeology museum, and of course the art museum. And so we came to an agreement with them in 2018 to place the collection on a long-term display, which is now expiring, I think, in a couple of years, and I'm hoping to be able to renew that.
And do you have any future plans for the Burjil Art Foundation? This goes to both of you. Do you have any goals you'd like to meet or just a plan towards which you're headed?
So Hayden and I spoke about this just a few days ago, so I will answer my part, and I think she has her own part to answer there. But of course, every collection, I think the dream of every collector is to have a museum dedicated to the collection. It's just that it's so expensive, and it would also mean that I don't buy art for maybe a decade. So if I save money for all these years, I will be able to build a small museum. But then I would have missed out on all these years of collecting art. And especially these years are these crucial times in which a lot of modernism from West Asia and North Africa is being bought up, and it is not going to be available in 10 years. So my main goal is to think about the extension of the museum's presence at the Sharjah Art Museum as a semi-permanent installation. But we also have other plans that Suhaila can tell you about.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of our kind of future plans or dreams are happening on the heels of other things that we've already started doing. And so they're kind of developing organically in some ways. So one thing, you know, we were chatting about is to increase research and publication. So, you know, this is something we already started working on. Of course, with the Taking Shape exhibition, you know, the production of that catalog and commissioning of essays, but also more recently, we launched a call for abstracts on modern art from the Arabian Peninsula, and we're hoping to work on that book. You know, we already received a number of abstracts, and which are now being turned into full-length papers, and we're hoping to kind of work on the editorial part of that book later this year. So I would say more research and more publishing, and also because in the last couple of years, you know, a few years, I would say, the scope of the collection or the focus of the collection has really shifted more from the contemporary to the modern. So we are increasingly looking more at the decades, let's say between the 1950s and the 1970s, you know, just roughly kind of speaking. And I think that period really does merit more research. So a lot of our future activities are, I feel, already are almost bleeding out of these shifts that have occurred. And if we're speaking about, you know, projects and exhibitions, then I would love to do something about comparative modernities, where we would show Arab art next to Turkish art and Iranian art and Indian art, right? And kind of draw those networks and connections. And I think that would be such an exciting learning process.
Yeah, that really is exciting. We're all really looking forward to seeing where the foundation goes.
That concludes this episode of Art in Focus. Thank you for listening, and be sure to visit The Terrace, the McMullen Student Publications page, to find more episodes in the series. This episode was produced by Rachel Brody, the McMullen Graduate Assistant and a doctoral candidate in the History Department. It was mixed and edited by Nisha Momin and Megan Minahan, and thanks to Rachel Chamberlain, the McMullen Manager of Education. Finally, thank you to our digital team, Arvind Mohapatra and Alex Hall, who uploaded these episodes onto The Terrace.